Hello, everyone.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about weight loss versus fat loss.
And what should really be your focus
to track your progress. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back, everybody. Episode 9. I'm super excited about today's topic, weight versus fat loss. This is really, really important because this is one of those things we talked about it in the last episode, Jim, where the standard is that people get ready to exercise. They come into it maybe with even the intention of, I don't really care what happens. I just want to be healthy and live longer. But it doesn't take too long, especially when you're hanging out with a lot of people that have the same sort of mindset, et cetera, that you're like, I want to look good. I want to look good. I want to go to the beach. I want to look shredded, et cetera. And so I need to lose some weight. And the weight loss doesn't come off. Fat, the scale doesn't go down fast enough. And all of a sudden you do what is inevitable. You just stop eating, right? And that's not good. We talked about that last week, but we're going to dive a little deeper into that. So I think to kick this off, it'd be really cool to just do kind of a basic explanation around this acronym people have probably heard of, TDEE. What is it? How do we calculate it? And how does that relate to this whole topic?
So the TDEE stands for Total Daily Energy Expenditure. How many calories you expend in a day. And the way it's put together is there's your basal metabolic rate, which has nothing to do with Italian cooking. Don't believe the lies. It's BASAL, the base. The base, often called the resting metabolic rate.
Yeah, we'll spot some basil.
You take as much time as you did. There you go, that's fine. So the resting metabolic rate, that's the base. Then there is the NEAT, the non-exercise activity thermogenesis producing. So these are things that are not exercise, but still burn calories. These are all you're walking in the grocery store. These are fidgeting. These, you know, some people kind of tap their feet and stuff. Yeah. So anything you do that produces movement that is not specifically exercise, call it NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. And then there's what you do in exercise. All those added together creates your TDEE, how much you burn each day.
So, and this is why this part's really important, because there's some fallacies here. So I heard a cool, it's sad, but it's a cool research on women who are training for ultra marathons or marathons.
Yeah.
And on average, most of them come out weighing more than they did before they started the training.
Ugh.
And so the research is like, what's happening? These people are training, they're running 10 miles and 20 miles, et cetera. They're expending a lot, especially on that further one down, on the exercise part, right? So I think what happens is people start to think these things are somewhat static. My resting metabolic rate is X. My NEAT is probably Y. And all I have to do is add in Z, exercise, and I will increase my TDEE.
Right.
And you alluded to this last time. What was happening in this research is that people would go train or get ready for the marathon, and they expended so much energy, so much painful energy, doing those 20 miles, or whatever the case may be, right, that even at a subconscious level, and this was not something that showed up in the surveys, they didn't realize that the rest of the day, what they ended up doing was just laying on the couch.
Right.
Or maybe eating a little bit more food. So the NEAT went down. And we talked about this last time. If you're not fueling right, you're not getting enough protein, et cetera,
yep,
and you end up losing muscle, that's what makes up, correct me if I'm wrong, your basal metabolic rate.
Yep.
So your RMR goes down.
Yep.
So now you have, I'm going to go work way harder so that I can burn more calories. And then I'm going to let my RMR and NEAT go down, which is exponentially more of the makeup of your total expenditure
right
than the exercise piece.
Right. And there are some people who imagine, if they do the calculations and they go to the lab and they get the metabolic mask and they do the whole thing, I burn 2,500 calories per day. There's some people who think they could eat 2,000 calories a day and slowly lose weight until they weighed 0 pounds. If they just did it long enough, 500 calories every day, they would disappear. They'd lost all the weight. They would win weight loss.
Game.
They finally beat their aim. And of course, why doesn't that happen? It's because the body's going to adapt. By making you more hungry, by making you less active outside of your exercise. There's a great example. I forget who I heard this from, but someone was saying, if you had a dinner party coming up and the host of the party was a fantastic cook, it's like Gordon Ramsay or something like that, incredible cook. And he said, get ready, get hungry, because I am going to cook up some of the best stuff you've ever had. What would you do to make sure you were as hungry as possible and could eat as much as possible when you got to the dinner? And when I ask people this, the most common response is, well, first of all, I wouldn't eat that day. And then I'd probably go like exercise a bunch just to make me hungrier. And so you would eat less and exercise to make yourself as hungry as possible. That's what you would do. And so that they say, okay, it's time to beat the hunger. It's time to lose weight and diet. And for the last over half a century, the instructions have been eat less and then exercise. Right. So the exact thing that would make you the most likely to binge and become hungry and then it would fail mm-hmm. has been the advice, right? So gas and brake at the same time,
right?
So obviously there's a better way. And when you are doing as I just described, you're eating less and moving more, you're probably just looking at the scale. I don't care what happens. I just need the scale mm-hmm. to go down. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I've even asked clients, if I could shrink you by 2 sizes, but you would weigh the same, would you take that deal?
Right.
And they go, no. Whoa. And I say, well, wait a minute. So you're going to fit into smaller pants and feel better in your clothes. Uh-huh. The scale says the same and you won't take that deal. I just can't be 160 or whatever the number is.
Right.
And it's insane the hold that the scale number has on us. It's a good indicator, mm-hmm. right? Like no one plateaus at 270. Like it's a good indicator.
Right.
But the idea that you would focus on that as the priority, it's misguided and it's non-productive. It's counterproductive.
Yeah. Yeah. A good example. You look at some of these UFC fighters and, you know, I might look at somebody that's my height, 5'9", or whatever the case may be, and they're just jacked and shredded, lots of muscle, right? Very low body fat. And they weigh the same that somebody else 5'9 might look at when 25, 30% body fat, right? Right. Because the fat piece there. So there's this myth, we talked about this last time. There's this myth around what's the difference between weight loss and fat loss. And part of it comes into, and we're sort of alluding to this here on the energy balance side, you either have to bulk up. The idea here is that some guy just like lost a whole bunch of weight, maybe went down to 100 and then magically went back up to 200, you know, and then, or shred down. And so people try to manipulate that game and they're doing it all with one very basic sort of linear tool, which is the scale.
Right. Well, and the people fail to understand how leanness refers to your body composition, which refers to your body fat percentage. If your body fat percentage goes down, you are getting leaner.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'll put it to you this way. There was a Casey Viator thing, the Arthur Jones, yeah. Casey Viator. What he would do, he would get leaner into the show and become heavier in the process.
Mm.
So let's say you're 200 pounds, you're 10% body fat. If you gain a pound of muscle,
right.
Now you're 201 pounds, but you're less than 10% body fat. Right. You've gotten heavier and leaner in the process.
Yeah. Your fat is a lower percentage of the total weight right. that's coming up because you gained muscle.
The proportion of your body that is fat tissue right. is now less, even though you have gotten heavier.
Exactly.
So a lot of people just go, I don't care what the composition is. I care about the weight. Mm-hmm. And this is backwards. And this is why you yo-yo diet. This is why your metabolism has this adaptation that down-regulates everything. And then you're stuck with nowhere to go. So instead, the focus, and it's really bad for some people mentally because the first 2 or 3 months, we're just recovering your broken thing you got going on.
Yeah.
And we're hitting the strength training and the protein. And so you might fill out a little bit because mm-hmm. you're regaining lost muscle mm-hmm. and lost strength. And so I came here for fat loss. I'm 25% body fat. And you guys,
right.
I'm gaining weight. And,
right.
and if you tested them, like the Prism scans. So in the Perfect Workout app, we have these Prism is the name of the company. These scans, you rotate in a circle. You put your phone, I think, and it gives you within 2% of a DEXA scan your body composition. And so the fact that this is so available lets people relax. Because DEXA scans, what do you do? Once every 3 months? Maybe. Once every 4? Once every 6? So you don't know what's happening in the interim. But if I have the Prism scan, whew, I gained a pound this week, but my Prism scan says my body fat percentage has gone down. Mm. I think I'm good with that.
Right.
You know, so people can like relax a little bit and de-stress now that they have that tool.
Yeah.
But the body fat percentage is the name of the game, not necessarily the weight, because we're trying to change body composition, not just take up less space on the earth.
Yeah, this is an important mind shift. Like when you start doing this, in some ways, you should celebrate that scale moving up if you're going to stand on that scale. For me, a lot of times it's like, please just don't stand on a scale unless you're doing it with something like Prism, because
right.
then it's using the information more holistically to understand sort of what's going on with that body fat percentage, et cetera. If you're just looking at the weight, it's going in a way that you want it to. So how many people come in and say,
I really want to get my triceps to be a little more cut, and I want to have a nice booty and all these sorts of things. You want to, you want the effect of adding muscle. And when you do that quite quickly on FastFit,
right?
Yeah. And then
especially at first.
And then it shows up on the scale. Because of this way of thinking, you go, oh, I better change all my habits to then get rid of the muscle because you think you're getting rid of fat.
It's a great story about this. I was consulting for this this couple, and the wife, she's in her mid to late 60s, and she, via DEXA scan, she added some negative only stuff into the into her protocol and gained 9 pounds of lean mass.
Oh.
I think a time period of 5 to 6 months.
Oh, man.
And I was celebrating, and then I come to find out, months later, I checked in on him. She had stopped doing the negative onlys because she just couldn't. I can't weigh that much. I cannot weigh that much. I can't look down and see that. Never, like, she couldn't do it. So she lost another, like, 5 pounds of muscle.
Oh, man.
It's like, you're going to be, and I explained everything, just like I am here. But there's certain people who are just so stuck on what I should weigh. You're going to should all over yourself. Should weigh.
This should be.
Mean should weigh. How about the body composition you should have? What about that? Like, right. That's your muscle is your engine for longevity and metabolic health and on and on and on. We've talked about it in past episodes. That's like gold.
Right.
The muscle tissue is like gold. So get it however you can get it and keep it whatever you need to do to keep it.
Yeah. Maybe someday. Probably not. I wish this was taught in school because there's no critical thinking at all around this piece. I want to have more muscle. When I get more muscle, this equation is going to improve.
Right.
And so I'm going to continue to lose fat loss. Oh, and it's not instantaneous. So I've just got to be consistent and adhere to this. But I'm going to drop that scale, by God.
Right.
And so what happens, like you said in the last episode, is now you have somebody that comes in. They might be this pear shape. They right. don't want to be that way. They start to do the right things, and they're getting some of the feedback instantly that is good. And yet the decisions they make from there makes them a smaller pear shape.
Right.
Which all the other benefits we're talking about by having more muscle, right? Brain health, all these other things, bone density, these sorts of things, you start to sacrifice getting rid of the eccentrics and sacrificing the impact on her bones because she
right.
can't
right.
weigh anymore.
Right. Well, and that's one of the big pitfalls to the Ozempics and the tirzepatides and Mounjaros and those type of medications. If you try to do that without strength training, and without making protein a big part of the proportion of what you do eat,
right.
You're going to have problems.
Right.
You're going to have a lot of problems. You're going to lose a lot of bone, a lot of muscle.
Right.
And so if you're going to do that, great. It's a big help to a lot of people. But for everything that's holy, just keep strength or start strength training and keep at it consistently or you're entering a world of pain.
Yeah. So my recommendation, you know, and where we start a lot of people, we've brought Prism into our ecosystem. We're not just looking at the scale. We have a great scale. We got the Withings scale that syncs automatically to your app.
Oh, it's dope. It's cool.
It's super chill. It's way out of your way, but you add that to the Prism technology, and then we can look at this more holistically. We can really start to see and understand. Looking at your strength increases, looking at your body composition changes, looking at your energy balance, et cetera, you're doing everything that's right. And if you trust that process and continue. Some of the hard part, though, is that in the beginning, and I'm going to double down on this, I think many people, because it does take effort, they don't want to pay attention to that energy balance piece.
Right.
And because we've never really done that, you don't have to do it forever. But
right.
it's a good idea. And there are some great tools out there.
Yeah, like there's MacroFactor. There's a million different apps. I use MacroFactor, but a bunch of them were RP Diet app, MacroStacks, whatever.
Carbon Coach.
It's like your coach in a pocket, and they track your weight trends and your expenditure trends, even if just for 3 or 4 months,
right.
just to learn how much a piece of steak weighs, right. You know, how many grams of rice is this, like these sorts of things. Sometimes people have never tried to track and they think, well, that's orthorexia. I don't want to track everything. Like, you ever track your bank balance? You ever look at it?
Right.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And you ever track your investment? Yeah.
Turns out
like, you should be aware.
Right.
You know, you should at least be aware.
Yeah.
And so even having that 3 or 4 months lets you compare that to what the Perfect Workout app is showing you regarding your body composition. And that's a good idea now that it's so easy to get your body composition. I would almost say you should never weigh yourself without also doing the body composition so that if this number goes up, you need to know that
it's muscle,
whether it's muscle or whether it's fat. Right. And then if it was fat, then you're right.
We can redo this.
You've got to stop it. But the idea is you shouldn't do that just from your weight.
Yeah.
And the idea, it's a process, not an event. And it's a journey, not just a today.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's wrap up weight loss and fat loss and just talk about the fact that, A, they're different than you would think. And what really matters here is fat loss, not weight loss. Paradoxically, in the beginning, we might want to see your weight on the scale go up.
Yep.
And there's a good chance it's going to if you're doing the right things. Yep. You don't want to end up like that group planning for a marathon, and then you're just lethargic and laying around, and you're lowering your RMR. Your TDE is getting lower, even though your exercise is higher. So now you're creating more work to get lower, worse results.
Right.
And one more thing that was brought up in a recent study, and like there are absolutely some pretty rare, you know, metabolic reasons for some people to have issues with some of the energy exchange. But for most people, it really comes down to energy balance. And it's not uncommon for us to get members or for even myself to work with somebody and they say, listen, I'm keeping the fat, right? But I'm eating the right amount, or I've lowered my intake and it's just not working. And what was cool in this study is it just showed that even for people that are like fasting and they start to starve themselves,
yeah,
and they're like, I eat nothing, but I'm still not losing any fat. Even if they're okay with, I don't care if I lose muscle, just make the scale go down.
Just make this number go
down. And they don't lose it. When they followed those cohorts around, they still found that there was one or two days during that week where they would binge eat.
Just crushing pizza.
And what we know is that it's the calories on average, right? So how miserable of a life
how
to starve yourself
the human body.
5 days.
Great?
Yeah,
you could starve it for 5 days and every calorie of feeds that you eat, it just ends up working still. Yeah.
You don't even sweat. You just,
yep.
So here we are back to that bell curve.
Oh man.
Just watch what you eat. And then it's really complex. Turns out you should just watch what you eat.
Yeah. 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 And don't do it in a way that's going to make you binge. If you, like we said, if you just try to eat less, move more, but you don't strength train and you don't focus on protein, you're gonna binge. It's not gonna be sustainable. You won't be able to adhere to it.
Right.
And adherence is the primary goal.
So exactly.
Do your strength training, eat your protein, and then fill in carbs and fats with whatever amount allows you to improve your body composition the most effectively.
Exactly. Cool. That's weight loss.
Well, we solved it.
Solved it.
Boom. Solved.
All right. See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.